Friends, our second lesson comes from the book of Isaiah in the 61st chapter. Listen now for the word of the Lord to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. And they shall build up his ancient ruins, and they shall raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your lands and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God, and you shall enjoy the wealth of the nations. And in their riches you shall glory. Because their shame was doubled, and dishonor was proclaimed at their lot, and therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. As for the earth brings forth its shoots, and a garden causes what is sown to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The first celebration of Thanksgiving started in 1789. As a proclamation by George Washington, and it became a national holiday declared by Abraham Lincoln in 1863 during the Civil War. Thursday, we will gather around tables and proclaim a national day of Thanksgiving. We will be grateful for family, for food, and of course for football. It is my favorite secular holiday, mostly because it is a cultural holiday that hits at the heart of my faith. To proclaim a national day of Thanksgiving as Lincoln did, he didn't just declare a day to cease fighting. He did so in hopes of something more, something deeper. It was a proclamation of, quote, "Thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father, who dwelleth in the heavens." In all honesty, I believe Thanksgiving to be one of the most biblical things we do as a culture. In our scripture lesson this morning, there is another proclamation, the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year of Jubilee, as proclaimed in Leviticus 25. Jubilee is a mixed bag. It is meant to bring great blessing and an outpouring for God's people. It brings both this grace, blessing, restoration, and liberty. And it also brings judgment, rolled up into one, happening at the same time. A year of Jubilee is a blessing to those who are humble, repentant, seeking to Shema, love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your might, to hear and to obey the will of the Holy Spirit. It is a year of release to the captives, to return to your homeland, a canceling of all debt. Can someone call Citibank for me, by the way? It is freedom for the slaves. The key foundation of this passage that defines what Jubilee is all about can be found in Isaiah 61. In fact, this passage is the key to unlock all the other verses about Jubilee. It is the passage that is important biblical principle is revealed. Jubilee is about two things happening simultaneously: liberty and judgment. The most unusual observance that God commanded the Israelites through Moses was a keeping of a year of Jubilee. For most people, this only occurred once in their lifetime, some none at all, because it happened only once every 50 years. At this year of Jubilee, all Israelites who were sold into slavery were set free. And all the land that had been sold reverted back to its original owner. This meant that no Israelite could ever be permanently in slavery. It also meant that no Israelite could ever permanently lose their inheritance. This Jewish calendar year of 2015-2016 is the year of Jubilee. Although the property laws of our lands no longer run by Jewish laws, we can still participate in this beautiful and ancient tradition. For the idea of Jubilee is embodied in every way by the teachings of Jesus. The embodiment of reconciliation is the embodiment of the gospel. Jesus said he came not to uphold the law, but to fulfill it. He healed the sick, those captive by leprosy, captive to blindness and social stigma. He taught the parable of the prodigal son and father, welcoming home after blowing his inheritance, leaving his family behind. And when the disciples asked how many times they should forgive their brother, was seven enough, they asked? No, Jesus said, an infinite number of times if they come seeking to be reconciled. If someone is repentant, we should always forgive. But forgiveness and restoration is not easy. Proclaiming a year of Jubilee requires trust. Saying it is one thing, living it is another. Imagining yourself a slave for 50 years and all of a sudden you are set free. Imagine yourself a slave owner for 50 years and you set all your slaves free. Your home, the one you raised your family in, your life is there, is returned to the family that occupied it before you. And you are returning to a home that you never knew. The year of Jubilee is both a blessing and a curse. One thing that I notice most is that is a year of Jubilee. It is not simply about the time, because it takes time to sort out all the paperwork, but it is because restoration is a difficult process. Jesus came to bring restoration between God and the world. He was the embodiment, the incarnation of Jubilee. He was, in person, the physical form, God's, "It's okay, I forgive you. Come here, my child, let's start again. Let me love you." For those of you that are new to this congregation or visitors, I'm going to apologize for this next section. But I would like to take a moment of personal privilege. It is no secret that in the last few years has been very difficult for me. There have been moments where I have kept you from my life. I turned inward, trying to protect myself and thinking that I was protecting you from the pain that I was experiencing. I did not tell you about my hardships because I full-heartedly believed that my marriage would be saved. And I was scared that if I told others, I knew you would support me and I would have to come to the reality that I deserved better. I would not let you help me, and I would not let you love me the way that I should. I did not want to be a weak leader. I wanted to hold it together. And in that, I failed. I held myself together the best I could, which meant for weeks or months at a time, I walked around like a zombie. I barely made it out of bed some days and didn't on others. I couldn't concentrate, and I wasn't always there for you. I have sinned against you, and I am sorry. But there are two in a relationship. This church has been through a lot, and I mean a lot of transition in the last year. And if we agree to be honest, you have also sinned against me. This congregation has a history of not trusting its pastor. And when I am away or something goes wrong, the benefit of the doubt was not always extended. The staff changes in this congregation have not been my fault. They were a reality of circumstances. I'm not saying I handled it perfectly, and I'm not saying it's your fault either. They just were. There have been conversations about dwindling worship attendance in the assumption that I had something to do with that. But what we are seeing is a reality of an aging congregation. The number of congregants who, in the last 4 years, have become homebound, have moved away, become sick, or circumstances changed in life where they are now caregivers to parents who have grown older. Some of our younger families are in the midst of crisis. I need you to care for them. I also need you to trust that they are being taken care of by people they trust, the people that you have placed in care for them, your pastor, your staff, your elders, and your deacons. And here we are a year later. We have a new staff, a renewed spirit, and commitment. I have to ask, can we declare a year of Jubilee? Can we forgive and heal? Can you trust me to do right by you? Can I trust you to do right by me? The point of Jubilee is not to pay for your sins over and over again. For Jesus came to say, you don't need to do this once every 50 years. We need to restore as soon as possible, as soon as you're ready. So will you join me on this journey? Will you extend grace and mercy to this sinner standing before you? I forgive you. I love you. And I am extremely thankful. So may we all proclaim the good news of the Lord, each of us in our own way, forgiving one another, loving one another, and embodying the Jubilee of God for one another. May it be so for you and for me. And all God's people said.